Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by California College of the Arts, offering extension courses focused on design, fine arts, and digital technology. Campuses in Rock Ridge, Oakland, and Potrero Hill in San Francisco. cca.edu/extension.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Immigration reform advocates plan to be out on the streets in 14 cities across California today, urging Congress to get a move on. The California Report's LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas says more.
The annual May Day march and rally in downtown Los Angeles is always a big draw. But this year, with a major immigration overhaul hanging in the balance, there's new urgency.
This is going to be one of the first nationwide activities after the presentation of the Senate immigration reform bill. And we really want to make sure that there's a lot of people out on the streets.
Giomara Corpeño is an organizer at the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, one of the sponsors of today's action. Corpeño says the theme of the L.A. May Day rally is family reunification. She says the majority of immigrant families have a mixed status household, meaning some members of the family may be undocumented, others may be American citizens, still others may have been deported and are now trying to return.
Keeping families together, that really encompasses all of it, the legalization aspect, the people who've been deported, but also supporting the family petitions. So California, we are the largest immigrant state. Los Angeles, obviously the largest immigrant county. So we really need it here. We need to make sure as many people as possible get included.
For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
Two members of the Gang of Eight in the U.S. Senate took to the stage in downtown Los Angeles yesterday at an immigration reform forum hosted by the USC Schwarzenegger Institute for State and Global Policy. Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado said he expects a Senate vote in June. What about the House? Senator John McCain told the L.A. audience the House will pass the bill if Republicans are convinced they must for their own political survival. Quote, "All you have to do is the math," he said, speaking of the rise of Latino voters in the U.S. In Sacramento, two immigration-related bills passed the Senate Judiciary Committee with bipartisan support. SB 666 would strip the license and fine employers who threaten employees by holding their immigration status over their heads. SB 516 stiffens the rules that govern foreign labor contractors to address the trickery and intimidation some use to force people into what is essentially slavery here in the U.S. If you live in the Central Valley or desert country in California, you're familiar with valley fever. You get it by inhaling spores dislodged from the soil. Most folks suffer something like a nasty flu, but those with compromised immune systems can die. Over the last 15 years, there's been a spike in valley fever cases, especially among people in agriculture, construction, solar power plants, and prisons. The federal receiver in charge of health care in California's prisons has ordered state officials to move more than 3,000 inmates from two hard-hit facilities. But as KPCC's Julie Small reports, prison officials have no immediate plans to comply.
Federal Receiver Clark Kelso directed prison officials to transfer all inmates from the prisons who are susceptible to valley fever. That's certain racial groups, African Americans, Filipinos, people of Eastern European or Middle Eastern descent. Also, anyone over the age of 55 or prisoners in chemotherapy or who suffer from any illness that compromises the immune system. Altogether, that's 40% of the two prisons' population, roughly 3,300 inmates. That's a logistical nightmare for California's Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, says spokesman Jeffrey Callison.
Could we move these inmates? Absolutely, we could. But we need to make sure that it addresses the problem at hand and also that it does it in a way that respects the overall integrity of the prison system and makes sure that we don't inadvertently violate other federal court orders in the process.
The receiver's directive, which is effective immediately, comes just days before corrections officials must submit a plan to federal court on how to shed 9,000 inmates from the prisons by the end of the year. Callison says barring so many inmates from two state prisons could force corrections to overcrowd other institutions. He says the department will take some time to decide how to respond to the receiver's order. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Later today in Fresno, big minds in water, energy, and high tech gather for a conference called Blue Tech Valley. If that sounds like an effort to cast a Silicon Valley glow over the business of agriculture, that's because it is. The California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca has the story.
The San Joaquin Valley is just 2 hours from Silicon Valley, but people in the two valleys speak very different languages.
Venture capitalists.
Startup companies.
Really awesome, an incubator and accelerator.
Versus.
Cowboy boots.
Global crop production.
Behold the tomato.
The idea behind Blue Tech Valley is to get those two valleys to talk about how they can help each other, says Henrik Larsen, a Danish engineer who's chairing the effort. He says together they can develop new water technologies.
What IT is in Silicon Valley is what water is to the Central Valley.
Larsen wants to brand the Central Valley as a place where academics and scientists develop the best water-efficient tools. Farmers test them and manufacturers build them, using venture capital and tech innovations from Silicon Valley, and at the same time creating jobs in the impoverished Fresno region.
Why can't we create new software packages, monitor real-time water usage, maybe get funding from Silicon Valley, but create those jobs locally, where they're needed and where they're going to be sold as well.
Farmers grappling with drought are already using their iPhones to monitor how much they're watering their crops with software developed at Fresno State. This week's conference will build on that kind of success. A San Francisco nonprofit called Imagine H2O is collaborating with the Blue Tech Valley effort. They'll announce a competition for entrepreneurs to come up with ideas for water-saving technologies to grow food. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
Monster beverage of Corona is suing San Francisco's top attorney. The energy drink maker says the city is unfairly singling out the firm. The California Report's health reporter Mina Kim has more.
Monster wouldn't comment for this story, but the company is unhappy with a March letter from San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera telling the drink maker to reduce the caffeine in its drinks, provide better warning labels, and quit targeting minors. Herrera says he's not intimidated by Monster's lawsuit and will continue investigating whether the company is violating state laws regulating business practices.
Monster is doing nothing more than claiming an unfettered right to continue marketing its products to children and youth, even in the face of overwhelming evidence that its products pose serious risks to young people's health and safety.
Monster officials have repeatedly released statements saying the drinks are safe and properly labeled. Herrera began investigating Monster last year when the Food and Drug Administration began looking into reports of deaths linked to energy drinks. That investigation is ongoing. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
And finally, Moreno Valley is abuzz today after a swarm of federal and local agents swooped in with search warrants at the homes of five city council members, a real estate broker with political connections, and the corporate office of a Skechers warehouse developer. The chief investigator for Riverside County's DA would only say the raids are part of an ongoing political corruption investigation. That's the California Report for Wednesday, May 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.